You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all, oh God. We worship you, we magnify you. We exalt you this morning, oh God. We join all the saints and all the elders and we say that you are worthy, oh God. We say, holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. We thank you for your presence this morning. It's always awesome to gather before you. You are a good God. You are a good, good Father. Thank you this morning that we've been reminded through the songs that we've sung that you are faithful. You are faithful, Lord. You are faithful, and all your promises, they are yes and amen. And we receive them, Lord. We walk in that confidence. We know that our chains have been broken. We know that we have been delivered from darkness. We know that we've been delivered from the pits of hell. We know that Jesus died, and because of that, we have resurrection power, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Come and speak to us, Lord. Prepare our hearts as we hear your word. Prepare me, Lord, to be able to deliver your word as you have purposed it. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's great to be with you this morning. It's always a privilege to be in God's presence, and it's my singular honor to bring you God's word today. I'm grateful to the leadership of the church. I must say, though, that when I saw the topic, I was a little bit intimidated. Signs and wonders. What am I going to say? And then I remembered it didn't say signs and wonders done by Marian. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about God. It's about Jesus. And so I don't have to be nervous. I don't have to be afraid. I just have to speak what is in his word. Hallelujah. I'm going to read the scripture, but in a few minutes, I'm going to give an opportunity for probably one person in the room and one person online to just share briefly a miracle that they have witnessed. Just share a brief testimony. We've got microphones set up. But as you know, we've been going through the Reconnect series. And my topic this morning is signs and wonders. And our main scripture is Acts 2:42-47. Acts 2:42-47. The Bible says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Hallelujah. So as I said, we're speaking this morning on signs and wonders as part of the Reconnect series. And this passage that we have read, there's so many themes in it. You can actually break it down and get so many messages out of it. It's talking about being devoted to teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, basically supporting one another. And I believe that this is not just a good passage for our series, not just a good summary of the Reconnect series, but it's telling us about how Christian life should be. This is how we should live. This is how we should do church. Talking about important things that we need to hold on to, holding on to teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, and to sharing. And it's easy sometimes to do one thing overnight, you know, I mean, to do something for a day or for a few days. But to be able to do something consistently, that takes a lot of commitment. And I want to encourage us. I think Pastor Kevin was saying this when he introduced the series, that some people may feel that they never disconnected and therefore they don't need to reconnect. But whether you disconnected or not, make sure that you are engaged. Make sure that you are switched on. Because you know what? You can be in the room, you can be in front of your telly, and your mind could be wandering. You could be thinking about, you know, what somebody said to you, or what you said, or what you should have said that you didn't say. Maybe you're shopping, or what you're going to have later for your Sunday dinner. Your mind could be wandering. But when we come before God's presence, we were actually talking about this in our live group meeting. It is important that we engage, not just there physically, but ensure that we are connecting to God. We are engaging. We are not just connected, but actually switched on. And that is how we can receive from God. That is how we can benefit from our union with God. We can benefit from our fellowship. And you know what? God is still in the signs and wonders business. Call it the miracle business, if you will. He is still in it. He was not furloughed. Hallelujah. Are you not excited to hear that God did not go on furlough? He is still working. God is on the move. There's a song that Daniel found when he was a child. He used to love that song. He says that God is on the move. He's on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move. He's always working. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't see it. And you know what? There are times when we get so used to the move of God that we are not amazed anymore. Sometimes we stop being amazed, but he does so many things. He delivers us from things that we do not even see. Sometimes we catch a glimpse of it. But do you know what happened? There are times when you could be delayed. I think we had a testimony not too long ago. Somebody was late for something, and then when they arrived there, they realized there was a big accident that if they had been on time, it would have probably affected it. Do you know the number of times God has delivered us from things that could have been fatal accidents? We don't see it all, but God is on the move. He is working. He's working in the background. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here who can share with us briefly about a miracle that they have either witnessed, it's happened in their lives or in the lives of a loved one? And I'll probably see if anybody shared something online as well. We've got a microphone set up. Can somebody just share a few words with us? Just one or two people. I'll take one in the room. I'll take one online if there's one available. You can't tell me that you've not witnessed any signs, any miracles. No testimony. Come on, people. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, please. Thank Hello. You.
Can you hear me? When I worked in a clinic in South Africa, there was a lady that used to come in and her leg was shorter than the other and she was in such bad pain with her back and things. And we were a Christian clinic and we were a clinic that prayed for people. And we lay her on the bed. And I'm very sort of optimistic about these sort of things and not really sure about legs growing and things. But we measured her leg and her leg had grown.
Hallelujah.
To match the same as her others. And if I wasn't in the room and if I didn't see it with my own eyes, I would never have believed it. But that changed my relationship with God for the better.
Amen. Praise God for that. God is indeed working miracles. Is there one more? I can't see any online. Is there one more in the room? One more.
Yeah, I used to get migraines every time we went on holiday. And they used to say to the boys, will you come and pray with me to get rid of the migraine? And there was one particular time where he said to the boys, come and pray. And the boys went, not again. And really fed up they had got to pray. But they did. They prayed with me. And it's the only time that it has ever worked quite like this. I got up totally free with the migraine and I literally followed them out of the room.
Amen.
So God works.
Amen. Yeah. And he used the children.
He used the children.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. So that means God can use any of us. Amen. What an awesome testimony. It really confirms that God is indeed still working miracles. And I'm sure those of you who didn't stand up, you probably have a few testimonies as well. There was one that I heard recently about a woman who had a tumor growing in her, and it was so big that it looked as if she was 6 months pregnant. And she had a few issues going on. She needed to sort them out. And once she got to that place where she could receive prayer, she went to her church, asked the elders to pray for her. And, well, they finished praying. She didn't see anything. The next day, the third day, the fourth day, a week later, still nothing. And then 2 weeks later, she woke up one morning and her husband said, "It's gone. It's gone." She woke up and that belly that looked like a six-month-old baby was in there. It had vanished. And she believed that it wasn't just overnight, but it vanished the day that the elders prayed for her. But you know what? Sometimes it takes a while for us to see the manifestations of the miracle. And so let us continue to hold on to our faith. Let us continue to hold on to the promises of God. We sang about it this morning. They are yes and amen. Go to God's word. Read the promises. Remind yourself. We say that we are reminding God. Yes, it's good, but it's more like reminding ourselves, because God doesn't forget. Go to those promises. Hold on to it, because God is still working miracles. Amen. Let us connect to the God of miracles. Let us connect to the God of signs and wonders. And let us connect to one another in identifying needs, because God used the children in that testimony. God uses people. God always needs a vessel. So as we look up to God to bless us, you know, to answer us, let's also look for opportunities to be a blessing. You know, let's look around. You know, do you need prayer? What do you need? How can I pray for you today? Does anybody need healing? Let us always be walking ready to be vessels that God can use to wrought these miracles. Throughout the Bible, all the miracles that were done, God needed people to work them. God needs a man or a woman to use to work the miracles. I want to remind you that God needs you. Whether you are a child, whether you are old, don't make any excuses. You are young, you are tall, you are short. If you are listening to me online, you are watching this later, God needs you to be able to work all these miracles. Because you know what? Without Moses, there would have been no parting of the Red Sea. Without David, there would have been no killing of a Goliath. Without those priests in Joshua 3:14, the Jordan River would not have been parted. Without Joshua leading the people, the walls of Jericho would not have been broken down. Without Elijah prayed for drought. He caused the trouble. He caused the problem. And then he prayed for rain again. And through Elijah, a miracle happened. He did so many things. God used him to supernaturally feed a widow, to raise a boy from the dead, among many, many other miracles. And you know what? Elisha prayed for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And guess what? He did double the number of miracles that Elijah did. So that is the God that we serve. He's a God of signs and wonders. He is a God of miracles. And what amazes me, you know, the things that Elisha did, so many of them, parting of the Jordan, Naaman was healed through him. And what amazes me, even when he was dead, he was still working miracles. God was still using him. His bones. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 13:21, the Bible says that once when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders, so they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elijah and fled. And as soon as that body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet. Wow. I can't imagine how he felt, you know, because when you're dead, you're gone. It's like, you know, when you're asleep and you don't even know you're asleep. So he must have woken up and he's in a tomb, because the bones of Elisha still carry the power of God. How much more you and I? We are not bones yet. We are still alive, very much alive. And so God can use us. God can use us to work miracles. I could go on and on and on, but let me stop here for the Old Testament. Let's move quickly to the New Testament. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so many accounts of miracles that Jesus did. He turned water into wine, which I'm sure many of us know about. He fed 5,000. He also fed 4,000. That's not as popular, but he did that. He cast out evil spirits. Spirit, he had control over nature. He was able to speak to a storm and say that peace be still, and that storm became calm. And this morning, I want to speak to any storm that is raging in your life, and I want to declare by the power of Jesus that that storm should be still. Peace be still in your life. And we have that power to do the same. We have that power to rise up and speak calmness, speak peace into every situation in Jesus' name. He even spoke to the fig tree, and that fig tree withered. He had power over nature. Jesus had power. He led the disciples to catch a surprisingly large amount of fish. And these are expert fishermen. But Jesus, at his command, was able to work that miracle. He raised people from the dead. And not just others, but he himself. He resurrected from the dead. And that resurrection power is available unto you and unto me. And we know in Acts 2 talks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And from that time onwards, those miracles were being done by the apostles, by the believers, by people like you and I, by children. God is using children. So what excuse do you have? I don't think you have any. We repent, myself included. We repent not to make excuses. There is a place for signs and wonders in the lives of the believers. But I also believe that there is a place for signs and wonders in the life of the unbeliever. I haven't got time to go into detail into that, but through miracles, people's faith are stirred. You know, what Sarah just said, she was in the room, she witnessed it, and she was not the same after that. She was a believer. How much more somebody who doesn't believe God, they see, they're like, wow, indeed God exists. Indeed, God is who he says he is. And you know what? There was a story about a woman who was a Gentile, and she came before God. And I just love this woman. I just love her spirit. She came to Jesus. And she said to him, she's someone who did not take offense at what Jesus did. She came to him and asked for something. This is in Matthew 15, 21 to 26. The Bible says, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the town of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away. You know, she's disturbing us. That's my addition. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us. Well, that's another way of saying disturbing us. She's bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Instantly healed. It wasn't a week or 2 weeks later. Instantly healed. And I was thinking, why did Jesus answer this woman that way? I haven't got time to go into all of that detail, but she could have so easily taken offense. Are you calling me a dog? How insulting. You know, I've come to you for healing. Look, if you're not going to do it, just send me away. But please do not insult me. But this woman, she was so calm. She worshiped God. And she found a way to reply Jesus. Miracles, signs, and wonders cannot happen in a place of offense. It cannot take place in a place where there is no unity. If an unbeliever has no faith, if an unbeliever is taking offense, then there is an issue in our hands. When we read that the scripture that we read at the beginning, Acts 2, 42, it talks about them being together, being in one place, gathering. And so we need unity, oneness for God's spirit to be able to move. If there is offense, you know, sometimes we are so sensitive. People have to be careful what they say to us. They have to package the words that they say. Let's let go. Open up yourself, be free, and allow God's Spirit to flow through you. Somebody can say something to upset you, but you can make a choice whether to be offended or not to be offended. And if we want God's Spirit to flow through us, and then we really have to let go of offenses. The Bible says in Matthew 13, 54 and 58, he returned to Nazareth, his hometown. This is talking about Jesus. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, "Where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, all his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things?" And they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family." So he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. NIV says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. They had unbelief. They lacked faith. And because of that, Jesus could not do miracles. Not because he did not possess the power to do it, but that offense, that unbelief, that stopped God's power from flowing. Because they thought, "Who is he? We know him. We know where he lives. We know his family. He's just a mere man." And it might be the same. People might say, "Oh, we know you. I went to primary school with this. But yeah, I know him. They live just around the corner. Who are you?" But it's not who you are. It's who you represent. And we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And whatever we do, we are doing it by his power. Because they were hostile to him, Jesus was not able to do much. So let us be conscious of the things that can stop God's power from flowing through us in signs and wonders. Let us, I've said it, I'm going to say it again, let go of offenses. Let us reconnect to God and reconnect to one another. Let us stay switched on when we reconnect. Let us make ourselves available as vessel for God to use for signs and wonders, not just in our lives, in the lives of our family, but in anywhere we find ourselves, God can use us. Let us go have our eyes open, looking for that opportunity. Do you have a need? Is there something you want to pray about this morning? Whether you're online, whether you are in the room. As we get ready to hear the response song, we can't just talk about signs and wonders without experiencing them. Because God's presence is with us. And unfortunately, because of all the restrictions, we can't have the elders lay hands on people. We can't ask you to come in front. But wherever you are, God knows it. God knows you. He knows the depth of your heart. And he will come and meet you at the point of your need. So I'd like to encourage you, however you want to say, "God, come and touch me." If it means standing up, if it means raising your hand, whatever way you want to say it, just say it to the Lord and put your request before him. What do you need? Is it healing? Is it some sort of breakthrough? Is it direction? Are you confused? What do you need? Are you at a crossroad and you're not sure what to do? Are you believing God for something, for some resources to be released? Maybe financial, maybe otherwise. Our God knows it. He is still doing signs and wonders, and he is here this morning to touch you. He is here this morning to bless you. And I want to encourage you that come to him with faith. It could be as small as a mustard seed and also as simple as that of a child. Very simple faith. And I want to encourage you. I really believe that God is going to do something in our midst today, in the days coming. Do share your testimonies. Share with the leadership of the church, because God is faithful. That is why I have the confidence to be able to say that God is faithful. He's a good God. He's a good Father. Let us pray.